All right, get your Bibles. Let's open them to the book of Job and chapter 41. Job chapter 41. We remember last week we talked about that great amazing beast, the behemoth, and we liken him. He's a good picture of the Antichrist and pride. And now we go to the second of the strange beast that is at the tail end of the book of Job, and that is the Leviathan. The Leviathan, chapter 41. The entire chapter is dedicated to this beast of pride. Again, a powerful beast. We don't exactly know what type of beast this is. We know that it's a serpent. We know that it's a dragon. We know that some leviathans have multiple heads, and obviously some have one. And so what a strange creature. And yet it's a picture of pride. And again, the Lord hates pride. So Job chapter 41, verse 1. Let's just read the first verse, and then we'll pray and ask the Lord to bless them. Together, canst thou draw out Leviathan with an hook, or his tongue with a cord, which thou lettest down? Let's pray and ask the Lord to bless them. Father in heaven, Lord, as we close the book of Job, we are brought back to the truth that you are almighty and you are sovereign and in control. And we, like Job, are without strength and without power. We are really at your mercy and your hand. And we don't have control over anything. And we think that we're better than we really are. But Father, I pray that you would teach us what you taught Job in principle here in Scripture. And that we would live up to the biblical truths that we find in these chapters or closing chapters. We thank you, Lord, for your love for us. We thank you for Jesus Christ who defeated the devil. And I pray, God, that he would give us the victory, Lord, in Jesus' name. Amen and amen. So the Lord speaks climactically, the final beast that he brings before Job is the Leviathan. Look at the last verse in verse 34. It says here, he beholdeth all high things. Talking about Leviathan. He is a king over all the children of pride. So God hates pride. We saw some Bible verses like that last week. Let's go to Obadiah chapter 1 and verse number 3. Obadiah chapter 1 verse 3. I wonder what God thinks of pride. Obadiah, shortest book in the Old Testament. And I probably one page, yeah, sure enough. All right, Obadiah chapter 1, verse 3. The pride of thine heart hath deceived thee, and thou that dwellest in the cleft of the rock, whose habitation is high, that saith in his heart, who shall bring me down to the ground? Of course, Obadiah, written against the Edomites, one of the Old Testament books that addresses Gentiles. Jonah, of course, addresses Nineveh. Obadiah addresses Edom. And the Edomites dwelt in the rocks, up in the mountains, in the caves. And their mighty fortress is impenetrable. And because of that high position, they prided themselves that nobody could defeat us. And yet the Lord said, the pride of your heart hath deceived thee. So yung palang mapagmataas ay nalilinlang. And so it's amazing what pride can make a person do. Let's look at Mark chapter 7, verse 20. Mark chapter 7, verse 20. Mark chapter 7 verse 20. And he said, that which cometh out of the man, that defileth the man. For from within, out of the heart of men, proceed evil thoughts. So, ito yung mga lumalabas sa puso ng tao. Evil thoughts, adulteries, fornications, murders, thefts, covetousness, wickedness, deceit, lasciviousness, an evil eye, blasphemy, pride, foolishness. All these evil things come from within and defile the man. That's what Jesus thinks of pride. It comes from the heart, sinful nature, and it defiles the man. So, sin comes from the heart. Go to 1 John chapter 2, verse 16. And pride is one of them. 1 John chapter 2, verse 16. 1 John 2:16. The Bible says, for all that is in the world, the lust of the flesh, the lust of the eyes, and the pride of life is not of the Father, but is of the world. So the world influences us to be proud of all different kinds of things. So when it comes to pride, the Bible has nothing good to say about it. Nothing. So, and here in Job 41, the very last animal to consider is a very powerful creature. We could imagine this to be a sea monster. And the Bible has many descriptions of it. And we'll look at it here. But you can see verse 1 and 2, you can't catch him with a fishing hook. It's very hard to capture him. Can thou draw out Leviathan with an hook, or his tongue with a cord, which thou lettest down? Canst thou put an hook into his nose, or bore his jaw through with a thorn? Can you do that, Job? Of course, the answer is no. It's a mighty animal. We can't even deal with him. Look at verse 7. Canst thou fill his skin with barbed irons, or his head with fish spears? Can you control him? Can you take him down? No, not even by hand. Verse number 8. Lay thy hand upon him, remember the battle, and do no more. So basically, you go ahead and try to put your hand in front of his mouth and see if he closes that. You know, pag ang tao ay kumagat, when a man bites, he bites in the pressure of 120 pounds. When a dog bites, according to the scientists, he bites with the pressure of 300 pounds, twice. Kaya pala pag kumagat yung aso, talagang mabagsik. Doble pala kesa sa tao yung kagat nila. Now, yung lion, they say, lion, would clamp down at 600 pounds. 600 pounds of pressure. And they just rattle their prey. Now, a shark clamps down at 1,200 pounds. So imagine Leviathan. You know, so some people say this is a dinosaur. I don't see a problem with that. It's fine. But certainly some kind of reptile. And you think about a crocodile, for example. When a crocodile clamps down, it's up to the thousands of pounds of pressure. So yung ibang tao, pinapasok yung pang show, pang entertainment, linalagay nila yung kamay nila dun sa bungangat ng buhaya. Yung iba yung ulo. And if they clamp down, they're in big trouble. And so this is what verse 8 is saying. Lay thy hand upon him. You do that. And it says, remember the battle. Do no more. You won't be doing that again. It's not going to happen. So you can't. He's not going to plead with you. He's not going to beg for mercy like a prisoner would. Look at verse 3. Will he make many supplications unto thee? Will he speak soft words unto thee? Will he make a covenant with thee, or wilt thou take him for a servant forever? Wilt thou play with him as with a bird? Or wilt thou bind him for thy maiden? So you're not going to treat this animal like some little animal that you can tame. He's not to be controlled even by people. Look at verse 6. Shall the companions make a banquet of him? Shall they part him among the merchants? They can't even make money off of him, because they can't even capture him to sell him. And that's how massive this creature is. Look at verse number 10 and 11. Verse 9. Behold, the hope of him is in vain. Shall not one be cast down even at the sight of him? No, none is so fierce that dare stir him up. Who then is able to stand before me? Who hath prevented me that I should repay him? Whatsoever is under the whole heaven is mine. I will not conceal his parts, nor his power, nor his comely proportion. This is the Lord. He's the only one who can deal with Leviathan. Job can't, I can't, nobody can. Who can discover the face of his garment? Who can come to him with his double bridle? So, of course, looking at his physical body. Weapons are no effect to the Leviathan. You can't even fight him with weapons. Look at verse 26. The sword of him that layeth at him cannot hold, the spear, the dart, nor the habergeon. Ano yung habergeon? That's breastplate or chain link armor. That's the whole idea, is protection. Well, you might as well put that aside, because one swipe from the Leviathan, you're gone. verse 27, he esteemeth iron as straw, brass as rotten wood. I mean, you come before this enemy with spears, and he just treats it like it's like a piece of hay, a straw. Arrow cannot make him flee. Sling stones are turned with him into stubble. Darts are counted as stubble. He laugh at the shaking of a spear. Sharp stones are under him. He spreadeth sharp pointed things upon the mire. He maketh the deep to boil like a pot. He maketh the sea like a pot of ointment. So somehow this creature, this dragon, this serpent, dinosaur, has some kind of ability to breathe out fire. So now, where do you think people got their idea for a dragon? Where did that come from? Do we think that's just mythology? Or maybe is the Leviathan. Where do civilizations draw in caves these creatures that are descriptive of Leviathan? A fire-breathing dragon. By the way, are there dragons today, in the world today? Well, there's a Komodo dragon in Indonesia. And you know how big they get? They get as long as 10 feet. 10 feet. You want to wrestle with a Komodo dragon? He maketh a path to shine after him. One would think the deep to be hoary. Upon the earth there is not his. Upon the earth there is not his like. Who is made without fear? So this weapons are of no effect. Now, in the same way that Leviathan is uncontrollable, that's the same idea with the sin of pride. Kung paano hindi natin masusugpo si Leviathan, ganun din mahirap sugpuin ang pride sa buhay natin. It's the same idea. How do you get rid of pride? How do you fight pride? Do you fight pride with spears and swords and human ingenuity? No. Pride, like Leviathan, is uncatchable. You can't. Pride springs up out of nowhere. You can get proud for anything. Some people pride themselves with their looks. Some people pride themselves with their brain. Some people proud about their family. Some people pride themselves with their skills and talent and ability. Pride, like Leviathan, is elusive. And it shows up at all different kinds of time. Sometimes you can't even feel pride. Look at verse number 3, 41 verse 3. Will he make many supplications unto thee? Will he speak soft words unto thee? Pride doesn't just say, you know, show up easily. It's there. It just shows up unannounced. And you can't trust it. You can't trust pride. Look at verse 4. Will he make a covenant with thee? Will you make an agreement with pride and sin? All right, sin, I'm not going to sin from now until Saturday. No, maybe Sunday, because Sunday they're going to be preaching on sin. And I don't want to get hit, so I'm not going to sin on Saturday and Sunday. That's not how it works. Nobody covenants with pride. It just, it shows up. It rears its ugly head out of us, out of nowhere. It's unmanageable. You can't manage pride. Verse number 5. Wilt thou play with him as with a bird, or wilt thou bind him for thy maidens? And yet so many people play with sin. Look at verse 6. It's not desirable. Nobody wants pride, but yet we're full of pride. Shall the companions make a banquet of him? Shall they part him among the merchants? Pride is undesirable. Pride is unethical. Verse 8. Lay thy hand upon him. Remember the battle. Do no more. Behold, the hope of him is in vain. Shall not one be cast down even at the sight of him? And so pride does what pride wants to do. Well, here's a problem. So if we cannot manage pride, if we cannot control pride, then are we hopeless? What's the solution? Certainly the answer is not us. Certainly the answer is the Lord. There is the Lord. And in Him, in His strength, in His power, we can conquer and overcome pride and sin in our life. Going back to Leviathan, we're seeing a description of his anatomy, his body. Look at verse number 12. I will not conceal his parts, nor his power, nor his comely proportion. So he's a massive creature. Who can discover the face of his garments? Who can come to him with his double bridle? Who can open the doors of his face? His teeth are terrible. Roundabout, his scales are his pride, shut up together as with a closed seal. You ever notice the skin of something like a crocodile? You ever touched it? It's hard. It's hard, like really hard. Very difficult to penetrate, to slay, to kill. Verse 16, one is so near to another that no air can come between them. They are joined one to another. They stick together that they cannot be sundered. By his sneezings, that just means sneezing. It's an old King James language word. By his sneezings, a light doth shine. And his eyes are like the eyelids of the morning. He produces fire as he sneezes. It breathes out fire. Dear Brother Bill, do animals do that? Yes. You know, the one animal today that produces fire is the lightning bug, the light bug. You ever seen that? Meron bang ganun dito sa Pinas? Yung parang maliit na, hindi siya langaw, hindi siya lamok. Firefly. May firefly ba sa Pinas? Sa probinsya, umiilaw siya. That's actual fire. So kung meron palang mga animals na ganon, possibly ba na itong sea monster na ito na mag-produce ng fire? Absolutely. Absolutely. Verse 19, out of his mouth go burning lamps and sparks of fire leap out. And so you have to ask yourself, where did people imagine a dragon? Is it just a figure of imagination? No, it's scripture. It's here. Verse 20, out of his nostrils goeth smoke, as out of a seething pot or cauldron. His breath kindleth coals, and a flame goeth out of his mouth. Anybody want to face this guy? His neck remaineth strength, and sorrow is turned unto joy before him. The flakes of his flesh are joined together. They are firm in themselves. They cannot be moved. His heart is as firm as a stone, yet as hard as a piece of nether millstone. When he raiseth up himself, the mighty are afraid. By reason of breakings, they purify themselves. And so nobody wants to face this. People run away from him. Let's see. The Leviathan instills fear in people. Verse 25. When he raiseth up himself, the mighty are afraid. Look at verse 33. Upon the earth there is not his like, who is made without fear. So who's got the fear? The people, not Leviathan. Leviathan has no fear. Behemoth has no fear. And so they don't behave with fear. So in all this, we can compare scripture with scripture and look at other scriptures. Go to Psalms 74, Book of Psalms, number 74. And verse 14, Psalm 74, verse 14. So Asaph writes about the Leviathan. Psalm 74, verse 14, thou breakest the heads, plural, of the Leviathan in pieces. So some Leviathan creatures have more than one heads. Yeah, they have more than one head, plural. Look at Psalm 104, verse 26. Psalm 104, verse 26. There go the ships. There is that Leviathan whom thou hast made to play therein. So this Leviathan is found in the ocean. It's in the sea. So this is a sea creature. So if Behemoth is a land animal, Leviathan is a sea animal, sea creature. Look at Isaiah chapter 27. Book of Isaiah chapter 27 verse 1. Isaiah 27 verse 1. In that day, the Lord with his sore and great and strong sword shall punish Leviathan, the piercing serpent. So we know this is some kind of a piercing serpent. Ano yung ibig sabihin ng piercing? Maliksi at tumataklos. Tama ba yan? Tumatakas. He crosses over fast. He crosses over. He's a piercing serpent. Even Leviathan, that crooked serpent. So he's also piercing and crooked. Pumupulupot. Yes. A piercing and a crooked serpent. Yung serpent naman, ibig sabihin ng serpent, ahas. So this is an amazing sea creature that is a serpent. And the Bible goes on, it says here, even Leviathan, that crooked serpent, he shall slay the dragon that is in the sea. So this is a sea dragon. And it's called a dragon here. So, anong Tagalog ng dragon? Dragon. All right, there you go. Very good. All right. So, kung si Behemoth sa New Testament ay naglalarawan ng Antichrist, sino nagbibigay power sa Antichrist? Si Dragon. Tingnan mo ang Revelation chapter 13. Let's go to Revelation chapter 13. So the Leviathan, if Behemoth is represented metaphorically of the Antichrist, the Leviathan could very easily be a metaphor of the dragon that empowers the Antichrist. Revelation chapter 13. And let's see. Revelation chapter 13, verse 1. And I stood upon the sand of the sea and saw a beast rise up out of the sea, having seven heads and ten horns, and upon his horns ten crowns, and upon his heads the name of blasphemy. And the beast which I saw was like unto a leopard, his feet was like unto the feet of a bear, his mouth is the mouth of a lion, and the dragon gave him his power. So ito yung, sino yung beast na lumabas sa sea? That's the Antichrist. And don't forget, Behemoth is plural, beasts. And the dragon gave him his power. So where does Antichrist, this beast, where does he receive his strength and power? It comes from the dragon. That would be the Leviathan. And his seat and great authority. And so, there's the dragon. Let's see. All right. Look at verse number, chapter 12. Chapter 12, verse 9. Revelation chapter 12, verse 9. And the great dragon was cast out, that old serpent called the devil and Satan, which deceiveth the whole world. He was cast out into the earth, and his angels were cast out with him. And so, yan, there you have a good illustration of Leviathan, Satan as the Leviathan, called serpent, called dragon, same thing. And so we have the enemy of Satan, and he is the king of pride. And he is the, certainly fits the description in Job, he is king over all the children of pride. So the very first creature that allowed pride in his heart was Lucifer. And the angel became a devil because of pride. Pride took him down. Pride took Adam down. Naalala niyo si Adam? God told him, don't eat of the tree of the knowledge of good and evil. But pride in Adam's heart, tempted by the devil, of course, through Eve, you will be like God. You will be like him. Well, he was already made in the image of God, in the likeness of God. So that was a lie from the devil. And of course, Adam probably thought, what is God trying to hide from me? I'll take of that fruit, and I'll desire, and I'll take it and eat it. So 2 Corinthians chapter 11. Look at 2 Corinthians chapter 11. Second Corinthians 11:3. But I fear lest any means, as the serpent beguiled Eve through his subtlety, so your mind should be corrupted from the simplicity that is in Christ. So there you have the serpent, Leviathan, beguiling Eve, or someone like Leviathan. And of course, the lust of your father, you will do. So who's a match for Leviathan? Not you, not me. We are no match for the devil. So, sa isip ng tao, Hollywood, If I have a little cross, the devil will run away from me. That's superstition. Okay? Just because you have a Bible doesn't make the devil flee. That's superstition. You know, I'll sleep with the lights on. That's superstition. We are no match for the devil. Imagine, the devil's been around since creation. Our life is only 70 years to 80 years at most, give or take. And the devil's been around since Adam and Eve. And he's got a whole host of minions, a whole host of spiritual wickedness that observes us and knows our strengths and our weaknesses. They don't know our thoughts because they can't read our minds, but they can influence us. These are powerful beings. We're no match, but there is one who is a match. Look at Colossians chapter 2, verse 15. Colossians chapter 2, verse 15. Colossians 2:15, the Bible says, "And having spoiled principalities and powers, he made a show of them openly, triumphing over them in it." So when Jesus Christ died on the cross, he spoiled principalities and powers. What does that mean? He broke the power of Satan and all of the dark forces of Satan through his cross. Jesus spoiled them. So who's got the power now? Not Satan. It's the Lord. Look at Hebrews chapter 2. Jesus has spiritual victory over the devil. Hebrews chapter 2 verse 14. Hebrews chapter 2 verse 14. "For as much then as the children are partakers of flesh and blood, he also himself likewise took part of the same, that through death he might destroy him that had the power of death, that is, the devil." So through Jesus dying on the cross, he destroyed the power of death in the devil. And verse 15, "and delivered them who through fear of death were all their lifetime subject to bondage." So through when Jesus died, he delivered those who trust in him. So the victory is in Christ. Look at 1 John chapter 3, verse 8. 1 John chapter 3, verse 8. Are we any match for the devil? No way. But the Lord Jesus Christ has power. 1 John chapter 3, verse 8. "He that committeth sin is of the devil, for the devil sinneth from the beginning. For this purpose the Son of God was manifested, that he might destroy the works of the devil." So, are the works of the devil destroyed? Yes, and they are being destroyed, and they will be destroyed eventually, in completion, in totality. So, only God can help us defeat the Leviathan of pride. Only God can do that. So, what do? We yield ourselves to the Holy Spirit of God. Lord, I am without power, I am without strength, and in order to defeat pride and sin, I trust in you. I turn to you, Lord. I have a sin problem, and I need you to help me. Lord, you promise victory. Lord, you promise that you would defeat the devil. I'm praying that you would do that in my life. You see, there's that committing yourself to the Lord. See, ang problema natin, we're trying to fight pride and sin with flesh, and it doesn't work. Nothing is accomplished. Nothing accomplishes the will of God by the power of the flesh. We can only rely on the Lord. All right? So that's chapter 41 on Leviathan. Let's look at chapter 42, Job 42. And we could very well finish the book tonight. Let's see, verse 1. "Then Job answered the Lord and said, I know that thou canst do everything, that no thought can be withholden from thee. Who is he that hideth counsel without knowledge? Therefore have I uttered that I understood not, things too wonderful for me, which I knew not. Hear, I beseech thee, and I will speak. I will demand of thee, and declare thou unto me. I have heard of thee by the hearing of the ear, but now mine eye seeth thee. Wherefore I abhor myself, and repent in dust and ashes. So this is Job's reply to the Lord's second speech. So after the Lord just pummels Job, exposing the pride in his heart, Job returns to the Lord in true repentance. And he says, wherefore I abhor myself. So true repentance is when you see yourself as the sinner that God says you are.
That's right.
Okay? So until a person understands the fact that they are a wicked sinner, they cannot repent. They're not going to be saved. So we have to see that. True repentance. A turning from sin to the Lord. So in verse 7, and it was so that after the Lord had spoken these words unto Job, the Lord said to Eliphaz, the Temanite. So remember the Job's friends? Eliphaz, Bildad, Zophar, Elihu. Okay. Elihu's not involved in this. But God looks at Eliphaz, and look at what God says. My wrath is kindled against thee and against thy two friends. Oh, God is angry with Eliphaz and his two friends. Why? For ye have not spoken of me the thing that is right, as my servant Job hath. Tingnan mo, sabi ng Panginoon, hindi niyo kasi sinabi yung tama patungkol sa akin, katulad ng aking lingkod na si Job. So did Job ever rebel against God? No. God called him his servant. That's the earth's lowest is heaven's highest. Therefore, so verse 8, ngayon may payo ang Panginoon para kay Eliphaz, Bildad, and Zophar. Take unto you now 7 bullocks, 7 rams, and go to my servant Job, he calls him his servant again, and offer up for yourselves a burnt offering, and my servant Job shall pray for you, and for him will I accept, lest I deal with you after your folly, in that which ye have not spoken to me the thing which is right, like my servant Job. So dito makikita natin yung intercession ni Job. God will forgive Eliphaz, Bildad, and Zophar and restore them to fellowship if Job will offer sacrifices and intercede on their behalf. Now this is the first book of the Bible, and it is already teaching us that Jesus Christ is the servant of the Lord. He's the suffering servant of Isaiah 52 and 53. And through his sacrifice and a divine intercession, God forgives and receives us as sinners. This is a very powerful picture here. So, verse 9, Eliphaz the Temanite, Bildad the Shuhite, and Zophar the Naamathite went and did according as the Lord commanded them. And the Lord accepted Job. So, the reason why God accepts us is because of Jesus.
That's right.
Yeah? So we are Eliphaz, Bildad, and Zophar. And Job is a picture of Christ. And the only reason why God receives us is because of Jesus Christ. Verse number 10, the Lord turned the captivity of Job when he prayed for his friends. Alam niyo ang prayer. Prayer is an amazing thing. Prayer is if you pray according to the will of God. Job prayed according to the will of God. God told him, this is what you need to do. This is what you need to pray for them. And God answered Job's prayer, but Job prayed according to the word that he received from the Lord. When we pray, we need to pray in alignment to the word of God. If you want to see God answer your prayers, ask God according to his word. Okay? So Job was instructed by the word of God to pray. Job prays, God forgives. God answers Job's prayer. Do you remember Daniel? In Daniel chapter 9, Daniel was coming to the end of the 70-year captivity of Babylon. And he knows the word of God. He knows, according to Jeremiah, that the captivity is going to be over. And so what does Daniel do? He gets on his knees and he prays and says, Lord, forgive us for our sins. Forgive Israel for our sins. The nation has sinned against you, Lord. And show me your will. And you know, God revealed to him the will of God for Israel. Why? Because Daniel knew the scriptures and he prayed the scriptures, you see. Praying is not just so you can feel good. Praying is getting in the Word of God and asking God to do something according to His Word and seeing that answer. So here we learn something valuable about prayer. Also the Lord, by the way, the Bible says, also the Lord gave Job twice as much as he had before. Verse 11, then came there unto him all his brethren and all his sisters and all that had been his acquaintance before and did eat bread with him in this house. And they bemoaned him and comforted him over all the evil that the Lord had brought upon him. Every man also gave him a piece of money and every one an earring of gold. So the Lord blessed the latter end of Job more than his beginning. For he had 14,000 sheep, 6,000 camels, 10,000 yoke of oxen, and 1,000 she asses. Now, if you go to chapter 1 or chapter 2, he had double of all the cattle. Exactly double. But in verse 13, he also had 7 sons and 3 daughters. Well, that didn't double. He had 7 sons and 3 daughters before. Now he's got 7 sons and 3 daughters again. So it didn't double like the animals. How come? Because although the sons and daughters died, they weren't lost. They are in heaven. And so the Lord gave him 7 sons and 3 daughters. He didn't double up the sons and double up the daughters. Otherwise, he'd have 3 times more. The Lord treats people differently than animals. And he called the name of his first Jemima. Hey, we know. You know what the name Jemima means? Morning. That's why when you eat Jemima pancakes, you eat them in the morning. Aunt Jemima pancakes. Jemima. And the name of the second, Keziah. And the name of the third, Karen Hapuk. Some good names here, so. You ever looking for some girl names? There you go. Karen Hapuk. And in all the land were no women found so fair as the daughters of Job, and their father gave them inheritance among their brethren. And after this lived Job 140 years, and he saw his sons and his sons' sons even 4 generations. Ang haba ng buhay ni Job. And he saw all these wonderful blessings that God returned to him. And at the very end, so Job died, being old and full of days. And so Job is no longer here on earth, but he is rejoined to his family in heaven. And so what a powerful book the book of Job is, really taking us to the depths of wisdom. Where do we find wisdom? What's the theme verse of Job? Job chapter 28, verse 28. And unto man he said, behold, the fear of the Lord, that is wisdom. And to depart from evil is understanding. So, and who gives wisdom? God. When we go to him and ask him for it. All right. So that concludes our book of Job. Amen. Let's pray and ask the Lord to bless them. Father, we thank you, Lord, that the victory is in Jesus Christ. We are no match for the devil. But we know that Jesus Christ spoiled the principalities and powers when he died on the cross and destroyed the work of the devil. We thank you, Lord, that we don't have to rely on ourselves for wisdom and strength and power. We can trust the Lord and know that when we align ourselves with the Word of God, that you would honor your Word and you will answer prayers because of Jesus Christ. So I pray, Father, you give us wisdom. wisdom to fear the Lord and to avoid evil. Help us to fear the Lord. We ask God that you would bless us now in Jesus' name. Amen and amen. God bless you. You are dismissed.